Praise the Lord. Thank God, he's good. I like that saying. Well, you turn in your Bibles with me this morning if you got your Bible, or you can follow along on the scriptures that we show you on the screens. If not, well, we will help out as much as we can. All right. If you got to Proverbs chapter 3, we'll go to Proverbs chapter 3. Last time we met, we talked about Jesus, the waymaker. You all remember that? We talked about Jesus being the waymaker. We also, on Wednesday, was a tremendous flow of the anointing of God. I don't know if you were here. Some of you were here Wednesday morning or Wednesday night. And we had such a wonderful anointing that day. And so I would advise you to pick up the message or go online, watch that again. We talked about making a stand for the Lord. And if you want to look at that again, I would advise you to go and get that, particularly if you're going through some hard times now, or you want to be prepared for the next hard time. I see Chris is away this morning. Chris, good morning, because I know you're away, and he's watching online, and I think Ed Wesley and Flo is away, and their family's gone away, and I guess Ed's still, the other Ed's away as well. So we have a number of families that are either on their way back home or on holidays or just leaving for holidays, taking the last breath of holidays. So anyway, so I would advise you to check those out. It'll help you. So this morning, we do have a topic continuing on the same vein of Jesus is the way. It's basically the topic of victory, the victory life, living the life of victory, concerning the God's plans and his will and his purpose for our lives. And, you know, if we don't understand this, it don't matter who you are, the devil's going to attack you. Whether you live for God or not, he's out there. So we want to stand, pray together this morning and get ourselves ready together. Let's do that right now. We all please stand and let's go, come humbly before the Lord and let's submit our lives to him this morning in this time that we have to study the Word of God. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your precious Word. We stand in your presence with this people and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here. We invite him, that the great teacher, that he would reveal unto us, that he would open up our hearts and help us to see what we need to see. Open our spiritual eyes that we might see things the way you see them and not the way we see them, not the way the world sees them, not the way the experts of this world see them, but how you see the situations in our lives. So we thank you. We put ourselves in line. We will to do your plan, your purpose, and your will. And we submit our lives to you for these few moments to listen to you. And to consecrate our lives for this time so that when we're done, we'll be better off for it and that we'll make more changes along the way this morning as we anticipate by your Spirit that you will speak to us and we'll correct ourselves accordingly. So we give you praise in advance. We thank you for this time. And we thank you for the changes and the good that will come as a result of this word. So we lift our hands and our hearts and we thank you. Freely giving you praise and adoration for what will be done in our lives. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen, amen and amen. All right, the life of victory is our topic this morning, and we want to talk about, I entitled this message, Every Step of the Way. Every Step of the Way. I advise you to pick up the first message from last week. This would be the second message of the life of victory topic. And I want to just reiterate some things we had said last time so that you get caught up on the gist of what we've been saying. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Amplified Bible, please. I want us to maybe perhaps get that on the screen so that we can all see them all at once. If you're not, if you don't have an Amplified Bible or you don't have, you know, something that you can read, let's get that up. Didn't I give you guys my stuff already? So I gave Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. If you don't mind, I'll wait for you so that we can all read it together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his goodness. All right. Let's go to Amplified Bible, Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6. Do we have it? Okay, it says, let's go ahead and read it together, everybody, and give them some little extra when you're reading it. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Verse 5, 6. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your plain, your path. He will direct, let's go that again. He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. And so we're talking about every step of the way, every step of the way. So he says, the Amplified Bible, I think you got the Amplified, I think I have the, there's two kinds of Amplified Bibles. One is louder than the other one. I think this is louder one. There's the Amplified, I think there's two sets of them. I don't know what set you got, but this sure is loud, the other one. So I have on my Amplified Bible, I think there's two of them, right? So it says, trust and rely confidently on the Lord. How many people know that the word confidence is associated with faith? If you find Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. So faith, the Amplified says, faith is the reliance and the assurance of the things which we do not see. So some of your answers cannot be seen with your eyes. Some of the things that you want answered can be seen with your own mind. All the intelligence of our human ability cannot find the answers that God has for you unless it's revealed to you by His Spirit. And so the Word gives us insight. That's why Proverbs says we should have insight. We would want insight into God's plan so that we can know the way. So trust and rely confidently. The word confidently means that our faith is going to be on the Lord, not ourselves. So trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding or insight. So there's a distinction that God makes right away here at the outset of this verse of Scripture, in that it says in there that there's a distinction between your understanding, which actually means your mind, because that's how we understand things with our mind from a human point, or of course, some of you understand this, your soul is actually a part of your mind is part of your soul. We're also, we talk about the emotions, because sometimes people believe what they feel more than what God's Word says. Whether your feelings comes from your psychological part of you or your physiological part of you. So sometimes we trust that more than we trust God's Word, because it's scary to get out there and you fly a plane with just instruments. Okay? So trust and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and not to rely on your own insight or understanding. So right away we're told there's two ways here to go in life, and that is we either go with what we think about it or what our hearts is telling us through the Holy Spirit. So notice this in all your ways, not just one way, not just your family life, in all your ways. That's talking about every single way you can think about in your life, spirit, soul, and body, that you're making decisions on this morning. So in all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So we know from the scriptures that there's going to be obstacles or blocks in our way. So to avoid that, we got to have insight from God, God's word. So I propose to you this idea this morning, or the whole idea of what we're going to talk about this morning, that is, life is hard. And it's even tougher without God in your life. It's tough without God. I don't know how people make it without God. I don't know what they do with their energy and strength. I guess maybe they take, you know, a lot of beating or something, really bad ones. But it's better to follow God. So as an introduction, I want to say that God's ways has no obstacles in his perfect plan. He doesn't set up obstacles or obstacle courses or hindrances for his purpose and his plan in your life. He don't put anything in your way for you to try and walk into it. You don't try to walk in the plan of God. You just obey what he says and it'll be okay. Okay, so the Apostle Paul puts it this way, over in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. He says, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Well, how does he hinder you, and can he hinder you? Yes, Satan can hinder you in what God wants to do in your life. He does, you know, make every effort, particularly when you're going through a hard time in your life. He will put as many obstacles as he can in your way, and he's out right now waiting for an opportunity to take you out. And he's not attacking you just to slow you down. He'll slow you down, but he wants to take you completely out. Particularly if you're walking, you know, you want to make choices that are good for you. And how many people understand your choices affect a lot of people? So whatever you do or don't do, because there's a sin of, permission or omission. If you just leave out the will of God in your life, you're actually disobeying God. Especially when you know what to do, because you see James, I think it's 2:17 or 2, at the end of that chapter, chapter 2, says, for a man to know to do what is right and he doesn't do it, to him, that man, it is sin for that man. Because disobedience is plain sin. When we know the word and will of God and we don't do it, it will affect us down the road somewhere. It might not be immediately. The consequence might not be there, but somewhere down the road, it could even take a few years. And then you might take a trip on a 20-year journey where you never plan on going. So Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Satan can at times hinder us, but he can't stop us completely or permanently. He can only hinder us or take us out completely when we leave God out from our lives. We have to acknowledge God in every aspect, as Proverbs says, to avoid the pitfalls that has been set up by the enemy or the traps that he set up. And unless God intervenes, we may perish, just like the prophet said over here in the, let me just go ahead and read, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 21, the Message Bible says it this way. I want to say the Message Bible because it gives us the information that we need in terms of the whole point of what we want to say here. The Message Bible says, Jeremiah 6:21 says, so listen to this. Here's God's verdict on your way of life. And this is when people are disobeying God, doing their own thing, or thinking they're doing their own thing. Watch out. I'm putting roadblocks and barriers on the road you're taking. Now, this is not the kind of, you know, this is not God actually being mean. If you you'll have to read the whole chapter and understand God's relationship with these people and what happened to these people and what they were doing and what God was trying to do in their lives. See, God is not putting roadblocks. It might seem to say this right here, but you have to understand what he's saying here. I'm putting roadblocks and barriers on the road you're taking. They'll send you sprawling. Parents and children, neighbors and friends, that will be the end of a lot of you. Or some of the things that we do. If you read previously, verses 16 and 19, pick up the New Living Translation says this. This is what the Lord says. This is verse 16 and 19, the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Let's talk about the scriptures. Travel its path and you'll find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. I posted a watchman over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. Therefore, listen to this. All you nations, take note of my people's situation. See, we can take examples from people, other people's lives who are living certain ways, and we could follow the word of God. You can watch my life, I'm going to watch your life and take an example and not buy a Honda. A Dodge. We're going to make sure we don't leave to buy that Dodge. Okay, so therefore, listen to this, all you nations. Take note of my people's situation. Listen, all the earth. I'll bring disaster on my people, and it's the fruit of their own schemes. Because they refuse to listen to me. They have rejected my word. So, you know, God has set up, what he's saying is God has set up laws upon, you know, his word. Laws, the conditions, let's say. He already set up a plan where you can succeed in every way in whatever he wants you to do. So, you know, you take, for example, there's a lot of scripture for it. If you take, for example, Ephesians chapter, I think it's chapter 2, verse 10, if you look at the Amplified Bible, the Bible says that God has set up a good life for us. A life worth living. He set up a good life for us to enjoy. That's already set in place. He set up for us faith to faith, victory to victory. God has already aligned us to be winners in Christ. But if we can persist in doing what we want to do outside of the plan of God, or what we call the perfect will of God, Romans 12, verse 3 says there's the perfect plan of God, there's the acceptable will of God, or the, what is the other word that it gives us there? Remember? Come on, you preachers. Where's my preachers in here? Bible school students. He says the acceptable, perfect will of God. There's one word I'm missing. The good. My wife is right on. Let's give her a great hand. I know she didn't, she slept on the wrong side of bed. This is my time to pick up my wife. My daughter, Hannah, turned on the TV the other morning. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday morning. And she turned on the TV, and there was Papa, Dad, talking about her. Gave her a good laugh. But anyway, no offense, honey. We will get together later. Okay. So, it's when we do our own way, when we do our own thing, right? So God has set up a way where we can advance and live His way, which is the good way. That's why I'm called Ojibwe. It's called the good way, the good life. Somebody texted me, and because I gave Ed Wesley and Max a little bit of time on my Facebook, some of my friends said that they can purchase some of their items on their so I got Natasha to model. Thank you, model. You must be reading the Amplified Bible. Anyway, model this thing. So anyway, I took a picture on it, and it says Ojibwe right across here, because I want to promote my First Nation NIS. So anyway, then somebody said, this Cree guy sent me a message. He's starting a war. He says to me, I want you to know that Ojibwe is not the only way. So I said, is it the Cree way? It must be. Anyway, back to our message. That was just a little advertising for Ed Wesley. He's probably watching. He's going to give me some money. So I like when he goes out to some of these places, Ed. He takes all his stuff. He comes back with a nice big check and brings it to Faith City Church. Some of it, anyway, at least. Anyway, he does buy new shoes. If you notice, Ed and I, when we were kids, we always used to dress up. He used to dress like his mom. I dressed like my grandmother. That's for Halloween, though, you see. Back to the message. So His way is smooth. It's a smooth highway. It's an easier path to take. Have you ever noticed God's ways are much, much easier than your own way, than walking and relying on the enemy enticing you to go a certain different direction? Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, the New Living Translation, the latter section of that verse of Scripture. I know that there's no lazy person here. Let's just go ahead and read this. A lazy person's way is blocked with barriers, but the path of the upright is an open highway. You're going to see this, idea all through the Scriptures. You see Isaiah says the same thing. Walking with God is like a highway. Open highway. God has a smooth highway for us to come out of the enemy's traps and to follow Him. He always will lead us into the best ways in life. Here's what Isaiah 11:16 Amplified Bible says. Isaiah 11:16 Amplified says, and there will be a highway from Assyria. Assyria is the enemy. So Assyria, because, they attacked, but for the remnant of his people, who will be left? Just as there was in Israel's day, in the day, when they came up out of the land of Egypt. You see, as I mentioned to you, I want to reiterate what we said last week. We said, Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the way to the Father's will and plan for our lives. Everything Jesus did concerning healing or whatever he did was always God's plan to show us that God's compassion, his mercy, his love and kindness to all people. His way is the best way. And so we see historically the Israelites, when God used them as an example to the whole world, even right now, whether you're saved, Christian or not, Israel is an example to the whole world all over the place. All eyes are watching Israel right now. God's timetable is there revealed, looking at these people and what's going on. And so when God used Israel and brought them out with a strong hand out of the hand of the Egyptians, which is the picture of the devil, dominating people's lives. They were set free. They were under hard and strict, rules to follow, and they had a hard taskmaster. Many of them were emaciated, so skinny, so starved, missing limbs and broken bones and maimed, and because of the hard labor, hard work. And God, one night, because of the celebration of the Lamb of Jesus, of the Lamb of God, which represents Jesus Christ, they ate the lamb in the house, and they took the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. And God came down and healed them. Not only did he heal them, but brought them out of Egypt with money, with gold and silver, with money in their pockets and so forth and so on. How do you think they built the calf out there? They were rich, which is a picture of what God wants for us, to have more than enough. Brought them out, delivered them. And so they came out of Egypt, and they were surrounded by the enemy. They were being pursued by this, Pharaoh and his army. And how many people know that the enemy is always behind you, trying to get a hold of you? And they couldn't go to the right or to the left because there's different enemies over there on each side, and they're heading straight for the sea, the Red Sea. And God made a way. God opened up the sea, and he froze each side and made a path. He made a highway through the Red Sea for his people. And the Bible says that when they got over to the other side, there were some things happened, and God healed them, and God mentioned to them, he said, I am your healer. If you follow me, follow my directions, I will be your healer for all time. And we see them, if you read all the Psalms and you read the history, you'll find that they didn't always follow God 100%. It's like a lot of us didn't follow God 100% after I got saved. I think about the day I got saved. I didn't follow God 100%. And I didn't understand about the things of God. I thought I was just following the Lord. I remember worshiping God with my Demorier pack of cigarettes over here. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I love you. And I just feel the presence of God come upon me. And I would get so warm and all fuzzy, and I would just get so elated with the presence of God with Demorier cigarettes in my pocket. And after the service, I'd jump in the car, just light up my cigarette, and drive down the road. Oh, just praise God. God's wonderful, isn't he? Until God started talking to me about putting away my Demorier cigarettes. Then we got into a fight. At least my flesh did. How many people know just because you're saved, it doesn't mean your body's impulses don't get better immediately? You don't follow, your body doesn't want to follow God. I still want to do things that I don't want to do today. Like eat fried chicken every day. That's just one of the easier ones. The other ones is just like our minds are not renewed. Our minds are not saved. What saves our mind is the Word of God. It trains us to think better so that we can feel better to follow God. And so his way is the best way. So when they got to the other side, they came to this desert. God led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which is explains of the Holy Spirit. Fire and cloud represents the Holy Spirit. God is always leading us by his Spirit. And so they came to the desert, and the Bible said that God made a way, a highway in the desert. He also made a way for them. So this is a picture of our redemption, that God always has a way for us. Escape. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that the Bible says that God always has an escape for us. He always has a way out of every trial. He says about temptation. He's talking about trials and temptations and frustrations and all this. He always has a better way, except that people don't seek him. When they have trouble, they just continually mull around in the trouble and give their comments and tell everybody else what they think. We don't care what you think. We want to know what God says about it. Who do you think you are, Don Cherry? So Isaiah 16:17 says that God made a way for them through the Red Sea and through the desert. Jesus is the way. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. We think we should follow what he wants us to do. We must look into God's word and ask ourselves some of these questions, the right questions. We should ask ourselves, you know, there's used to have this little band, and I think some of you have had it. What would Jesus do? And we should ask ourselves, what does God's word say about our situation? When I was in Rhema Bible School, Dr. Hagin used to tell us, every time you come to a problem in your life where you cannot solve, you should always ask yourself, what does God's word say about this situation? Whether it's money problems, whether it's financial problems, children problems, whether it's your mental health, your mental, emotional health, whether it's physical health. What does God's word say about it? Ask yourself to find his way. Things will work out almost immediately, working just like magic when we follow God. Like things might not immediately change dramatically in the natural, but they'll begin to work wonderfully in your spirit and in your mind. You'll just say, you know what? I know I'm making the right decision. Things are not changing, but in my heart, I know this is the right move. If you look in the Bible, there's something that says, seems like the Holy Ghost is leading me, guiding me. So, sometimes we don't know the way, but there is a way. So there will be a highway for us, as Isaiah 11:16 says. At certain times in our lives, it's easier to take the quicker, easier path and to skip out on morality and correctedness, but it's not the right thing to do at times. Sometimes we take the improper way. So it might be more convenient to take the improper way than to take the convenient way, which is the harder way. There is a right way and a wrong way. Remember somebody said there's always three ways to consider, right? Your way, my way, and the right way. God's way is always the right way. So here's what Jesus said. Matthew 7:13 Amplified. He said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad and easy to travel is the path that leads the way to destruction and eternal loss. And there are many who enter through it. Many. Many. It's amazing, you know, the devil has people lie to people so many times, even Christians, to just skip out on Christian life. And just, they say, oh, I'm better off without God. I don't have to follow God. They find whatever excuse the devil has given them that actually makes sense to them. We know, we look at them, it don't make sense to walk out on God and leave that and get into all kinds of trouble. And we think, oh, they should know better, but they don't know better. But when we reverse the table and think about our own lives, they look at us and say, that guy's really stupid. Look at him. Talking about us. And so, don't be pointing fingers. But, verse 14 says, but small is the gate and narrow is and difficult to travel is the path that leads the way to everlasting life. And there will be a few that find it. Few. How much is few? Proverbs 14:12 says this. Proverbs 14:12 Amplified. There is a way which seems to be right to a man, but appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death. So choosing our own ways is not always the safest way. Seems right. If you look at it from your own perspective, you say, oh, yeah, you know, this is okay. I can do this. Seems good to me. I'm going to go ahead and make that decision. We have to understand if we're heading north or south here when we're doing that. We need to consider our ways. And here's what Haggai chapter 1, verse 7 says. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7 says. The prophet Haggai says, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. He's talking to God's people, covenant people. God is telling you and me today, consider your ways. Here's what the Amplified says on the scripture. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. Sometimes that's not always the easy thing to do, especially when you want to do what you want to do. Go ahead and buy that nice GMC. Nice and shiny right now. You know? Just look at him or her in 25 years. Without God. And without their teeth and hair. I'm talking about the woman. The word was, the word, during that time, that word was given, it was a time when the people of God were neglecting God's ways and the work of God for their lives. God was sending the prophet of God to speak to them. These people, listen to this, they were doing their own thing. They were working really hard with all their jobs, but not getting anywhere really fast. They were trying to save money, put money away, but they were losing money at the same time. Sometimes people can work a whole lot, four or five jobs, have this and that, but never really get to where they're supposed to go. It's not all about natural living. Thank God, I'm glad, for a nice house. You know, thank God for a nice warm house. You know, I don't have to cut wood tomorrow. Do you have to cut wood? No, you don't have to cut wood. I remember Mr. Tal Gizhik used to cut wood, right? He didn't want to cut wood anymore, he said. Tired of it. So he bought himself one of these stoves that burns oil. One time, I remember my uncle, we were so, had a hard time, and they started burning shoes in the house. They were all drinking for a whole week, and they nobody got wood. So they started taking down the walls and cutting down the 2x4s. Next thing, they had no room in the house. They had no separations. And all the people said, where's my rubbers? Big black smoke coming under the house. This is a real life story I'm telling you. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. When I started getting, when I started getting honest like that, people started getting uncomfortable. Huh? Jerry knows all about it. He had his shoes missing many times. Living at Blythe River. You mean I got to buy shoes again? So even though people leave God completely out of their lives, they might think they're doing good or great, but here's what God's word says about leaving him out, Proverbs 4:19. But the way of the wicked is total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. Sometimes things will baffle you that you don't know how did that ever get there? How did that problem ever show up? I didn't see that coming. So there are stumbling blocks, disappointments that come our way, especially out of the plan of God. Life is hard. But without God is even harder. Somebody said, hey, I'm doing good. I'm a Christian. Praise God. I don't tithe, give offerings, but I'm doing fine. Imagine what you do with God's, hand upon your life. You'd even, how much you'd be doing greater than that. So life is much easier with God. He will ensure your every need met. So here's what Proverbs 12:28 says, the way of the godly leads to life. The path does not lead to death. That's a good confession there, man. Hey, my all of my ways in God leads to the path of life. You know, having no money is not a path that leads to life or death. It's totally different, right? God's ways. So the Lord will protect us from all evil that the devil can throw at us. Here's what it says in Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity, but destroys the wicked. The stronghold, man, that's the protection from God. He's talking about the protection of God in our lives. I mean, the enemy can't get at us when we're in the perfect will of God. You see, that's what the Bible says in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23 is a picture of you and I walking with God in this life right now. Jesus is our shepherd. Psalm 23 is a prophetic word that he gave, the psalmist gave, about us walking with God right now. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what is the shadow of death? The shadow of death is this world where death is dominating. He said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, and listen to this, I will fear no evil. Everybody said, I will. Fear no evil. When you wake up late at night with symptoms, or when a big thought comes, an evil thought from the enemy, you tell yourself out loud. Say, I will fear no evil. You say it even if you're afraid. You'll see. As soon as you begin to do it regularly, that will dispel every fear. Everybody say, I will fear no evil. Because God's way is the best way. He says to you when you're walking with Jesus, when you're walking with God, he said there, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's there with you. You know, Kenneth Copeland is big on this. He says, when we were over in Toronto, he talked about this again. And I think Brother Hagin taught a lot about that in his last days at Rhema and all the camp meeting. He talked about learning about the love of God. When we learn how much God loves us, we'll have no fear about the enemy. We talked about this Wednesday. That, when we talk about Ephesians 6:18, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People start shaking and getting scared because they're thinking about, oh, I got to fight against these enemies. No, the Bible tells you already that God has already put Satan under our feet. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says he's under our feet, all of us who are in Christ. What we have to do is enforce his defeat by walking in faith, by walking with God and beginning to obey him and saying, he's under our feet. Yeah. Colossians 2 says that over there, 2 to 14. Verse 15 says that Jesus triumphed over the enemy for us. His victory is our victory. His righteousness is our righteousness. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do all that. He did it for us. So his way is always the best way. We better learn to listen to him. So we will not be shaken easily in tough situations around us. At the moment, at this very moment, this very second, God is the same God that he was when he was with Israel at that time, or when he was with Jesus healing the sick, or whatever. He's the same God. Here's what 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it has with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful. Everybody say, the Lord is faithful. Say, the Lord is faithful. That means the Lord, in your tough situation, the Lord can be relied on. And you can put confidence in what he said. You can put assurance that he's going to take you through the hard time. Thank God for our Bible study this morning. Amen. Who will establish you and keep you from evil? We need to believe that. Living unfaithfully away from God's ways is a tough road. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15 says the way of the unfaithful is hard. Hard, tough. If you're unfaithful to God, it's going to be a tough road for you. Tough situation. God watches our every step. His hand of grace is all upon us. Psalm chapter 1, verse 6 says this: the Lord watches over the path of the godly. He watches over the path of the godly. You know, I like what Psalm, where 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 talks about, you know, casting our cares, our worries, our anxieties, our burdens, our heaviness on the Lord. You know, we used to have this message that talks about, you know, heavy loads. We are not meant to carry a lot of junk, a lot of heavy loads. You know, I woke up one morning, and I had such terrible problems, you know, and I woke up, and suddenly I had this thought come to me, which I realized now was the enemy. At first, I didn't know. It says, you know, what in the world is wrong with you? Why aren't you worried? You should be worrying. You should probably be taking a nervous breakdown by now. But no, God is my helper. Amen. You know, God is your helper. Is he your helper? Yeah. And then, I begin to think, yeah, God is my helper. He's the strength of my life. I don't have any cares, any worries. I'm not carrying any worry. I gave it all to him. He's taking my cares and worry. And if I put it over to him, see, a lot of times, here's what happens to people. They got cares and worries, and they say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you my cares and worries. And then they pray, or get somebody to pray for them, lay hands on them, or they pray, they go to their prayer closet, read scripture, and they give God, they say, oh, God, thank you, Lord, you have all my worries right now. 10 minutes later, they start worrying again. They start thinking about it. They start a fuss over them, cares. And pretty soon they got control over it again. See, you can't be worried about something at the same time and think that God's got them. No, you got them. So when trouble comes, you say, you know what? Hey, I don't have them. Devil, you're telling me I got this, but I gave them to God. I'm going to sleep right now, and he's taking care of it. Is that hard to do? You bet it's hard to do. It takes training to do that. It doesn't happen by one prayer. It doesn't happen by one altar session. It doesn't happen because you're singing one or two songs at an electrified service and your tears are coming down and you feel good. And it don't go away instantly because you had that wonderful service. No, it's a learning process that we find God's ways are better when we begin to give God our cares over and over and over again. When we realize that he is faithful. Glory to God. He is faithful. So, what can come against us? Who will put the obstacles? Well, we know who's going to put the obstacle, who's going to make it straight. So, we can't be discouraged. So, the Spirit of God knows the way out. He always knows. He's called the Spirit of Truth. In John 16, 13 to 15, Jesus said, I'm going to send you somebody just like me. His name is Holy Spirit, and he's going to show you what to do and show you how to avoid problems and show you how to get out of situations that you have trouble with. We need to talk to him. You know, when I have a trouble and have a hard situation, I say, Holy Spirit, Jesus said to me, you're going to show me the way out. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been at a place in your life, a critical place in your life, where you just want God to do something magical at that moment? Give you the money right away. Give you the answer. Give you a vision. Send a prophet at your house. Give you whatever it is to show you what to do. How many of you have ever asked for a sign? A dream? Huh? We've all been there. We have, God, send somebody and make sure if that phone rings, I know it's you. Somebody said, let the dog bark outside. And all of a sudden, 25 dogs start barking. Which one was God's call? You know, so we prayed about that. We said, you know, here's what I learned. Brother Hagin, you know, he was good at giving us advice with some things. He said, don't ever say Brother Hagin said, and we always say it. He said, don't say Brother Hagin said. He said, Jesus said it. You got that from the Word. I got it from the Word. He said, don't say what I say, because we always quote our mentors, right? And he didn't like that. He just said, tell them what the Bible says. Don't say what Brother Hagin says, because they have more authority. When I'm in university, I don't quote God. I quote the doctor or whoever I learned from. I learned from Dr. Hagin. So that's why, you know, I'm doing that. So yesterday when we were at, over there, Hannah had hurt her foot. Eh? She hurt her foot, and I had to tape her toe. So my wife had to call Dr. Roma, cutting these, whatever you call these. Anyway, but listen, we want God to show us how to get out of stuff. What do you do when you don't know the way out of a situation? So here's what he said to me. He said to me, you know what? If you're in a hard place, you don't know what to do. And a lot of us, you know, we say the Holy Spirit will show you. The reason why the Holy Spirit never showed you anything, he's already done it. If you don't get any special leading, especially when we go to the hospital, when somebody's dying in a sick bed, and we're praying many times, Pastor Ken and I have been to a sick bed where they're supposed to die. They didn't die because we prayed and asked God what to do. People say, what do I do? I don't know what to do more than you would know what to do. But the Holy Spirit will know. So what we do is this. If you don't know what to do, you follow what you already know what to do. You follow the Word. Obey what the Word says. Because sometimes we want, hey, no, I want to, you know, God, show me something magical here. So let's conclude with this. We need to submit to God. We need to begin to pray right now the prayer of dedication, to submit to Him, to dedicate, rededicate our lives. You know, there's the Bible says praying with all kinds of prayer, Ephesians 6:18, praying with all kinds of prayers. And one of those prayers is what we call the prayer of dedication to the Lord. The prayer of rededication. This is something you can do every day, every night. Like Jesus said, thy will be done. That's the prayer of humbling yourself, the prayer of dedication, submission to the Lord. You say, Lord, I've been doing things my way. I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to rededicate my life to you. I don't have to wait for a conference, a special time in a service when the music's nice and soft and there's a special anointing coming on. I can do that right now. Praise God. Can we do that? Let's go ahead and stand up and do that right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your word says in Psalm 37:5, to commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He'll do it. Thank you, Lord. We repent of every plan that we've had without you. You said Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. You said, unless God's in it, the guards are guarding with futility. And so today, Lord, we thank you. We stand before you. We know that your way is always the right way. Not what I will, as Jesus prayed. Not what I want, but your will be done. So we're bringing our hearts, our lives to you. We thank you, Father, that we want to submit all to you today. As we come before you with the communion table, we're going to lay it all on the line. Father, have your way in our lives. Have your way in our finances. Have your way in our relationships, our work, employees or people that we work with. Help us in our dedication as we study the Word of God, and we give that up to you. We say, Father, I will start a new year. This is a brand new year for many people. September is a new year for a lot of folks. So I pray this morning, as we dedicate our lives to the Lord, Father, that we would see a new way. The highway is a better road with you than without you. Thank you, Father. We give you our spirit, soul, and body. I commit to you. We turn away from what we want planned, but we're going to say, Father, I'm dedicating this church year to you. Whatever you want me to do in terms of ministry, whatever you want us to do in terms of our lives, whatever it is, I want to give this up, I want to do that, just go ahead and do it right now. Father, we praise you. Thank you. Glory to God. Are we having a dedication of, do we have people to help us out here? Praise God. We're going to take communion together. And I think the young ones that should be here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and take our... maybe you could start on this side. One guy can start on the other side. Just one guy can start this way. Thank you very much. Oops, sorry. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Did you get something out of that this morning? I know it wasn't one of the services like Wednesday, but it's the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. First Corinthians chapter 11 says that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He said, this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. Then later on, he also took the cup of wine. He said, this represents the blood that I will shed for the covenant we're about to make. How many people know that a covenant is the strongest thing you can make? God cut a covenant with his people through Jesus Christ so that it will never be broken. That's why he sent his only son. That Jesus will never break the covenant. Listen to me, please listen to me. A covenant with God is unbreakable. All the promises in the Bible can never be broken. Everything that God owns, Jesus said, everything that I own belongs to you because of the covenant. A covenant, he says, your enemies are my enemies. When somebody comes to try to injure you, they're coming against me. And I'll take care of those enemies. Whether it's sickness in your body, whether it's some kind of a horrible disease you've been struggling with for a long time. It could be a financial situation. Could be a marriage situation. Could be children situations. Could be whatever it is, ministry, business. God wants to fix it. He said, if you just come to my table, I'm going to fix it. That's what we're getting at this morning about His way. That's why He said, if you would come and believe on me. How many of you remember Acts 16, where the jailer told Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and everyone in your home. This promise was given to a sinner. Not a Christian, a sinner. Somebody who was not even saved yet. When we give our lives to God 100%, God promises to restore your home, your children, your husband, whatever it is. Whatever is broken, He is the way He can make things happen. So as we take our dedication service, as we take our submitting our lives to God this morning, I want you to know there's a covenant. Whatever belongs to Jesus, whatever belongs to God, belongs to you and me. Whatever belongs to you, belongs to Him. The covenant. So this morning, we say, God, thank you for the covenant. And because of your broken body, broken for me, I thank you for it. For healing my body, giving me every physical need. He said, this is the blood of the covenant, the blood that's shed. Let's go ahead and take it. Thank you, Lord, for the blessedness of your word. Thank you for the blood covenant. So we apply the blood to our home this morning. We apply the blood to our minds, our bodies, our cars, our homes. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ for safety and health. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Let's go ahead and praise Him and thank Him. Lord, we give you praise. Go ahead and praise Him in your own way. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for saving us, healing us, giving us what we need. We give you praise for leading us the way, showing us what to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.